My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. So in today's episode, I'm going to share with you lessons that I've learned over my 10 years in recovery from love addiction. This has been a very deep and important road of recovery for me. And many of you have been here along the journey with me as my client. Some of you know me personally, and you've watched the things from the ground floor, and you have watched the change, the transformation. You have watched the relationships improve. You've watched my relationship with myself improve. And depending on when you have joined me on this podcasting journey, you've had 7 to 8 years of me sharing a lot of the lessons, tips and tools and things that I have learned here on this platform as well. And in my Love Junkie platform, which is where I first started podcasting about sex and love addiction. So today's episode was inspired by, I was reminded about a poem, which I'm pretty sure I've talked about here on the podcast before, but I talked about love addiction in so many different places in so many different ways that I kind of confused, okay, did I share this with my clients? Did I share this on the podcast? Did I share this on social media? Or did I share it everywhere? I don't know, but it is so good that it bears repeating. I'm going to share with you a poem that I found right before I actually entered my recovery process with love addiction. And it really spoke to me. It felt like it was telling me something, telling me lessons about love, telling me lessons about life, telling me lessons about self-acceptance and self-ownership and self-love that I understood logically what it was saying, but I didn't get it in my soul. Which is why I kept looking for answers outside of me, which is why I kept having relationships where the disappointments and the failures really, really rocked me, where it was really hard for me to feel contentment and really hard for me to judge what were healthy sources of love. And so now here I am 10 years later, this poem completely, I feel like, is dictating in better words that I could what it looks like, what the lessons you learn throughout this process looks like. So I'm going to share the poem again. I'm going to share what each of these lines mean to me as far as the lessons I've learned. And I hope that this serves as inspiration for those of you who are just starting your journey or who have been here for a while, or you resonate with what I'm about to share, and that you know what is available for you to build off of and for you to find your own truth. Because what I'm going to share are the lessons that have resonated for me, and there may be different lessons that you need or things that you need to be made whole. But I really think that this spoke volumes to my soul. Let me go ahead and just jump on in. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
With summer winding down and fall almost being here, it's time to think about getting our cozy self-care rituals on point. The Everything Shower is a core staple with Osea's new Undaria Algae Body Wash and is a must-have addition to your routine. The Undaria Algae Body Wash infuses your shower with the healing power of the sea with this all-natural, uplifting, citrusy scent. This pH balance and hydrating formula doesn't strip the skin, leaving it feeling soft and renewed. I love how this body wash has such a smooth, gel-like texture. It lathers so easily and leaves me feeling fresh and yummy. And its natural plant-based ingredients help support the skin's moisture barrier and cleanse without stripping, which is perfect for this time of year. With Osea being clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Create your shower with clean, vegan face and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code BGH at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code BGH for 10% off.
So a little bit about my background and my love addiction journey, because I've been told that I don't talk about it enough, that maybe I share more about me here as expert and as healer, but y'all don't know how much of in the trenches I have been. That I'm not just speaking head knowledge, but like the ways that your girl made a fool of herself, and not once, not twice, multiple times, and the ways that she pushed really great partners and love away and completely confused herself and reinforced her trauma. I've done those things, which is why I can speak about them so clearly, and also why I'm so good at labeling it in other people. And not only that, for those of you who are joining me brand new, I'm a therapist by trade. Trauma healing and trauma recovery is my specialty, along with sex and love addiction recovery. And so all of that stuff just converges and combines. So I was the woman who on paper had a lot of things together. So for me, I've always been pretty sociable and extroverted, top of my class, easy for me to go to school. I had a plan, had a mission. I don't want to claim that, you know, I felt connected to my beauty, because at that time, I really couldn't look at myself in the mirror growing up. That did not come until around early to mid adulthood that I could actually look at myself in the mirror, which I may or may not get into today. It may be something for a different day. But basically, on paper, had everything together. I was well-traveled, well-educated, well-cultured, had really great friends. But my romantic relationships always were kind of a mess. So I kind of just chalked it up to it's just life and learning. I got into my first relationships in college, but that was also the time that I was very, very deep in my faith. And so there is also this mixture for me of I'm struggling with fantasy and I'm struggling with attachment. And in Christianity, or in the ways that Christian dating was really taught and presented to me, is that you only date people that you're actually about to court and that you're about to marry. And so it was very, very easy for me to, when I met people, that immediately when I meet you, and I even before I even know your name sometimes, that I'm imagining, can this person be my husband? And not only was that encouraged, it was taught, you need to date intentionally. And of course, you're supposed to pray about it. And of course, you're supposed to invite other people into the process, invite wise counsel, your pastor, your accountability group, your prayer group, all this stuff. But it is very, very intense from the start. Was absolutely fed a young heart like me that all she wanted was to feel loved. All she wanted was to feel safe. All she wanted was to be done. All she wanted was to be seen and protected and accepted. So this way of approaching the world and trusting that as long as you are good and holy and set apart and pure and all these things, as long as you do all these things, then you will get the love that you want. And God will reward you with that. God will see your prayers. And even in your darkest times, when you are crying out, God has not forgotten your prayers. And just rest assured that your love is coming. So for me, and the ways that I have built fantasy throughout my life, as far as coping with emotional neglect, feeling alone, feeling not good enough, those lessons, depending, you know, there may be variation in how people receive what I just said and whether or not you align with that being destructive for you, or whether or not that's been so healing for you and you saw the promises of it. If you're the latter, I am so happy that that worked out for you. For someone like me, it reinforces this inability for me to focus on the moment, to focus on myself, to focus on my life. I already had this before I even got into this realm of Christian dating, but life reached its penultimate moment once I was in partnership. I think I've talked before here, and if not here for sure, in my student and coaching community, that my favorite fairy tale growing up was Cinderella. And I think this might be a really good lesson for some of us who are also fairy tale love story girlies to kind of think back and think, okay, what was my favorite one? Because it says a lot about how you may have been groomed or indoctrinated on how to show up in this world. So for me, it was Cinderella. And for me, the core values and things that I remember intentionally as a young child modeling myself and taking away from the movie Cinderella was, you know, you have people around you who are mean, who ignore you, who mistreat you, who don't love you. But as long as you stay good and compliant, people please, become what they want and what they need, erase your needs and your wants. As long as you do all that, one day someone will see your goodness. One day, all that suffering will be enough. You know, so don't worry about the suffering. Don't get angry about the suffering. Or if you do get angry, you know, make sure that it's moderate. Distract yourself and do other things. Don't own this deserved rage that should happen when a child or just a person is mistreated and harmed, because love is going to make it better. You're going to find the person, you're going to find the love that's going to make all of this suffering worth it. You're going to meet, you're going to know, and it's all going to make sense. And so for me, the ways that Christian dating was taught to me really solidified what I hope that I got into. So there is that. So it would be, I would meet someone and they immediately needed to be my husband. And I would stay through things that I probably shouldn't have stayed through. I didn't know how to claim my self-respect. I didn't know how to claim boundaries. That wasn't taught to me. And if there was something that happened, it wasn't that you necessarily broke up. It's that you go to your pastor, your accountability group, and dependent on the level of emotional knowledge and boundaries that they have and where they are in their understanding of trauma relationship health, they're either going to tell you to go back and take all the blame for yourself, or they are going to just encourage you to pray about it. They are going to say things that are like, well, this is just normal when it comes to healthy relationships or to marriage partnerships. So you just need to stick it out and not that what is happening is dangerous and it shouldn't be happening at all and it shouldn't be overlooked. So that was one realm of ways that I ended up being in relationships. And then as time passed and I got older and kind of expanded outside of that, still Christian and still praying and still letting myself apart, but also I'm more out in my adulthood now. Now I'm dating more and more people who are not the best fit for me. And again, I'm very good at rationalizing away the red flags. I am so good based on my trauma pattern at when I see someone who is neglecting me or not showing up with the energy that I want them to, I have perfectly honed and curated how to endear someone to me. I know exactly what to say, how to make my voice, how to charm you, how to win over my abusers and perpetrators. Because for me, this is, of course, me talking now. This is not conscious thought that I had then. But for me to learn how to subdue and learn how to appease and calm potential perpetrators was necessary for my survival. I needed to have people who didn't give two shits about my emotional health or mental health or what the pain I was having. I needed for my survival as a child to keep them on my side, to keep them at least there and present long enough for me to get my needs met. And so perfectly curated this. And so when I meet people who don't know and don't want to know or are incapable of giving me what I need, my immediate reflexive response is appease, trap, charm them to love me, not move around, not find someone who's worthy of me, not find someone who is deserving of me, not have self-respect and boundaries, because love is the ultimate goal. Relationships are the ultimate goal. And being partnered is where you can finally rest and be done with all of this. So to wrap this up so I can get into the lessons that I've learned throughout this time, I dated narcissists. And just over time, I would consistently cross my boundaries more and more and more. So people who were narcissists, people who were recently out of relationships, which were boundaries that I said I would never cross, people who I liked them more than they liked me. And then the people who did like me, I just found them boring or no chemistry or made excuses to not hang out with them and just pushed all that away. I have gone as far as light stalking. I have gone as far as, you know, the rambling late night calls and desperate texts and trying to see where someone is and just completely losing my mind for no reason. It makes no sense for someone like me to be at that place of desperation, of thirst, and of need, but it was there. It was absolutely there. It was visceral, and I couldn't explain it. I felt so silly and ashamed and embarrassed and guilty that this is where I was. I would watch my other friend who, yeah, they would, you know, sometimes fall for people who were bad matches, but they could recover, and they would be able to date someone who was even better and treated them like a queen afterward. They weren't so ravaged and obsessed and ruminating about breakups and relationships that didn't work out like I was. It got worse and worse and worse until my mom ended up passing away. And because love addiction and trying to find all this love and security is an excess, is a trauma response, I'm still a romantic girl that has not gone away. I've just learned how to balance it. I've learned how to completely embrace me without losing myself and not having to deny myself, which was really hard. I'm feeling like I had to either be all in and overindulge or overrestrict to try to find some control when things were getting out of whack. But anyways, with love addiction being a trauma response, when my mom unexpectedly passed away, things went to hell. And so as far as my level of codependency, my acting out in relationships, sexual things that were happening as well. So I went to therapy and my therapist was like, okay, I can help you with this, all this codependency and family stuff. But when it came to what I now call love addiction, when it came to my love addiction stuff, he was like, I can't help you with that. So he suggested I go to Sex Addicts Anonymous. I said, I'm not going there. There are people who are dangerous and who hurt other people there. That is not me, because those were the stereotypes that I had in my head. And then he suggested something called Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. And that's where I went and completely changed my life, to have words to what was going on with me, to know that I was not alone, to find a community of other women who got it. And that is part of the catalyst of why we are here today, and why when I first started podcasting, I was like, other people need to know that these words exist, whether or not it's in the clinical DSM that all mental health professionals and medical professionals use to diagnose mental illness and mental disorders. It doesn't matter, that they can figure it out and they can classify it however they need to for their text. But this language right here is what spoke to me and what it spoke to so many women and so many people over the years. And also finding that what was available within those 12-step meetings and then also what was available in therapy, both great, but there was a big gap in between, because while I was in that 12-step program, a year into it, after working the steps and doing everything else, I was again with a narcissist, with someone who was attached and in a fantasy relationship with someone who didn't want me. And I was like, something has got to change. And then I created the methods and programs that I teach all now, or that I teach my students now, everyone who works with me, to break out of that cycle. And so I have been out of that cycle for a long time. But what that means for me, to be clear, is not that I don't ever, when I'm dating someone or if I'm in a relationship with someone, that I don't have the capability to romanticize what may be happening, if it's something that I want to, if it's someone who's really important to me, that I don't have to be mindful of my boundaries. It's just that it is no longer my default to self-abandon. It is no longer my default to find anyone who's unavailable attractive. It is no longer my default to stay quiet. And it's no longer my default to push away good, loving men who want to adore me and treat me like a queen. I am much better able at receiving and also believing and knowing that I'm worth it, at owning my space in a room, and also being content single. I told part of that story about the fairy tale and about what I was kind of taught to believe in my stages of doing dating in a Christian way, is because I was told that life began and ended with partnership. It was the ultimate reason to be here. And for many of us who idolize that, we will put ourselves in harm's way. We will marry and partner with people that we have no business partnering with. We will have such a fulfilling and beautiful life and still feel like something is missing, that we are empty and incomplete without having a person there. And I've been able to get to a place where I'm completely honest. Y'all heard me here on the podcast, that companionship, I believe, is a human need and right that we all deserve to have, and that is innate and doesn't go away. But this balance of, yeah, the sun is shining, but there's still some rain clouds on the horizon until I have a person there, I've been able to get out of that. I've been able to be fully present so that when relationships are here, it is extra and it's on top of what I've created. And that's a place that I thought I could never get to. That's a place that when people would talk about it, one, I would be like, what does that mean? And two, I would be angry that I even had to get to that place. Because for me, to let go of the concept of romantic love being there meant that I was simultaneously saying that I was not lovable because love would not find me. If I don't ever find someone who loves me and wants to partner with me and marry me and treat me better than everybody else and see me as a prized possession, yeah, I'll have a career and friends and, you know, tribe and travel and da-da-da-da. But that's kind of a consolation prize. Like, that is not as worthy as having someone claim me and say I belong to him or her, depending on who you're attracted to. It is a life that was given, but not one that I would have chosen. And so me hearing that I needed to get to a place to where that would be my reality and then be joyful about it, I was very resentful of it. Because you're telling me to give up something that I need to feel safe and whole to make all of this pain worth it. You're telling me just to suck it up and deal with it. I've already lived my life alone. I've already lived my life having to take care of myself and to suck it up and to make lemonade out of lemons. I don't want to do that anymore. And you're telling me I need to? Fuck you. Fuck that. And so getting to this place has been hard won, but it's also been worth it. And the peace has been on this side, and the ability to be present in myself, and the ability to receive love and connection with gratitude, the ability to receive being seen, y'all. Oh, I'm trying not to cry. Oh, I got to pause. Okay. There may be some tears that you can hear, but yeah, the ability to be reconnected to my faith, to see love and connection in a different way, and to be connected to my inner child and all this, like, it's just been, it has been worth it. So all that to say, I'm going to share with you the poem that I mentioned at the beginning, and then I'm going to talk about the different lessons that I've learned and wrap many of them into the things that I've already shared as far as my story, and I hope that you find this helpful. So the poem is interesting because I've seen it have different titles and different authors, but here is the poem. It's called After a While by Jorge Luis Borges. I think I've shared it before under the title After a While. Sometimes you may also find it as you learn, but it was revised and copyrighted by Veronica Schofstahl. So whoever the original author is, I don't know, but both of those names and the title After a While will take you to poem. After a while, you learn the subtle difference between holding a hand and chaining a soul. And you learn that love doesn't mean leaning, and company doesn't mean security. And you begin to learn that kisses aren't contracts and presents aren't promises. And you begin to accept your defeat with your head up and your eyes open. The grace of a woman, not the grief of a child. And you learn to build all your roads on today, because tomorrow's ground is too uncertain for plans. Futures have a way of falling down mid-flight. After a while, you learn that even sunshine burns if you get too much. So you plant your own garden and decorate your own soul instead of waiting for someone to bring you flowers. And you learn that you really can endure, that you really are strong, that you really do have worth. And you learn and learn. With every goodbye, you... With this poem... I remember reading this and thinking when I first read it, this is so beautiful. There's also like this tinge sadness that I couldn't quite, like, for me at that time, when I would listen to this or read this, it was that message that I was saying before, like, love is supposed to be this ultimate thing that heals you and redeems you, and your romantic partner is going to make it all make sense and all that other stuff, right? And again, y'all, just to repeat before I get further into this, your girl is still, maybe I should say hopeful romantic, but I'm still a hopeless romantic. For me to be in relationship with me, we ain't doing this unless there's romance, right? Like I still hold this standard for my partner to have access to me. And so it is a deep requirement because it's what I know that I'm deserving of and what I'm worthy of. And so when I first read it, it felt like it was a continuation or an extension of what I had heard before. You got to get to a place where you just love yourself fully on your own and you don't need anyone else. And for me, again, that equated to lifelong, eternal solitude. And I'm just have to be in this dark corner, this dark room, and just smile and act like everything's okay. And that's what I was like, I don't want to do that. And so even after finding this poem, I went years and years and years and years trying to find the avenue, the corner, the escape valve, the exception to where that was not a lesson that we had to learn, because that's not what I wanted my truth to be. Yeah, I didn't want to be resigned to just have to find happiness in this plan B version of my life. And so now when I read this, to me, there's still like a twinge of kind of this bittersweetness. But I don't read sadness in this. I actually read more hope and optimism and abundance and love when I read this, because I've seen what happens when you feel these things and when you center the real abundant love at this, an abundant love with yourself, and how expansive it gets and how freeing it is. So let me tell you the lessons I've learned stanza by stanza.
Hey, we hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Let's take a quick break to say thanks to this week's sponsors.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. In a world where you do not know what you're getting, finding someone you can be authentic with and who leads in being their real self is so important. And when you're dating, it's even more important that you meet people who aren't into wearing a mask and are just as serious about meeting their person through genuineness and clarity. And that's why I love eHarmony's detailed compatibility quiz to help you see upfront if they are a great fit for your values, your lifestyle, and your commitment level versus having to wait months in to figure all of that out. eHarmony is all about helping you find someone you can be yourself with. We all want to be seen, heard, and understood. And that's why so many more people are turning to eHarmony. I'd love for you to give eHarmony a shot. Get started with their compatibility quiz for free so you can find someone you can be yourself with. eHarmony, get who gets you. Ever feel like you're too busy to eat healthy? Well, meal kits from Sunbasket are the perfect solution. I've had the amazing experience of trying Sunbasket for myself, and let me tell you, it was amazing. So at my core, I'm a meat and potatoes girl. So the steaks with chimichurri and harissa roasted sweet potatoes were hitting the spot. And they have such an incredible variety of new and flavorful dishes like the salmon burgers with lemon dill mayo and the Saigon chicken and vermicelli bowls. Y'all, they are so good. With Sunbasket, you can feel confident that you're putting a healthy and delicious meal on the table that is ready in 30 minutes or less. Sunbasket proudly works with the best farms and suppliers to fill their meal kits with organic, fresh produce and responsibly sourced antibiotic-free meats and seafood. Sunbasket makes it easy and convenient to cook healthy meals that cater to your lifestyle and health needs. So with delicious meal plans like Mediterranean, carb-conscious, vegetarian, keto-friendly, gluten-free, diabetes-friendly, and more, it is so easy to swap ingredients as needed as well. Ready to eat in less than 5 minutes with zero prep and no mess, it is perfect for even the busiest of us. So try it for 4 weeks and see how clean eating can change the way you feel. Go to sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal today to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/blackgirlsheal to save $120 across your first 4 deliveries plus free shipping on your first order.
On this one. First one, after a while, you learn the subtle difference between holding a hand and painting your soul. As a love addict, it was so important for me to make sure that the people that I was romantically involved with, especially sexually involved with, I needed to know that they needed me. I needed to know that they needed me desperately, that they loved me. And if I felt any insecurity in that, hello, insecure, anxious attachment, I would need to do everything I could to chain that soul to me, for them to want to be chained to me and for me to make sure that they were there. And so I will constantly be measuring difference. There's a difference between holding a hand and chaining a soul. I will constantly be measuring whether or not this person deeply was infatuated with me in the ways that I had built this infatuation with them. And I would also feel relief depending on the level of attraction and intimacy they were giving to me. It was very codependent in that way. And so when I read this now, you learn the subtle difference between holding a hand and chaining a soul. The lesson I take from that is that anyone can hold your hand. Anyone can tell you nice and sweet and loving things. Anyone can romance you and fly you out. Anyone can introduce you to family and, you know, create this really big, elaborate romantic display. But does this person truly see you, love you, and want you for who you are? Do they actually see your soul? And that's what they want to nurture and take care of. Because there have been many men who have done the former and didn't really see me. Men who wanted to romance me, wanted to be intimate, wanted to talk with me for hours, but they did not see me. And then there were some post-recovery and stuff who also may have had a really nice connection with, but it wasn't what was deep and lasting. And so I've gotten the chance to learn to be discriminate in between not labeling everything that I have been connected to when it comes to romantic relationships as love. You know, I see this a lot of times with my clients, especially when we first start working together. If they come in and they start, this is usually the trajectory. If they come in and their main focus is on healing love addiction, love avoidance, and the ways that this is showing up in their romantic partnerships, wherever you go, there you are. And so those are patterns that usually show up in your family relationships and in your friendships as well in different ways. And so one of the things that happens as we're kind of assessing all of their relationships is at romantic partnerships, as we look at friendships, one of the things that I have to tell them is, or that they learn is that the label of friend is a sacred label. We don't call everyone we know just because we know their names and we've hung out a couple of times. It doesn't make them our friend. They need to be treating us in a way a friend is supposed to treat us. They need to be loving us and supporting us. They need to be a safe person. And so it is decentering love, this romantic love, and chasing that. And in the way of chasing that, every single person that I meet has to be the one. He has to be tested and approved to be the one, and losing that intensity around it. The next one is a kind of a continuation of that. You learn that love doesn't mean leaning and company doesn't mean security. So leaning on others as far as codependency and company doesn't mean security. Again, someone could be physically present in the room, but not physically there for me. They can be around, but not emotionally available. And as someone who experienced emotional neglect, that was a lesson that I had to learn. And I actually kind of learned it a little bit early on, actually. There is a relationship or two after that that I had to really learn this lesson that someone could be physically connected to you and committed to you and not there for your support. And so what does actual security mean for me? What are the qualities for that? What does that look like for me? And I had to get very clear about that and find what does it mean for me to feel protected and seen and safe. Begin to learn that kisses aren't contracts and presents aren't promises. The ways that I would spend time romanticizing romantic moments between me and former partners or former lovers to feel safe, to feel comforted, to get a little glimpse of what it felt like to be securely attached, right? And I would replay these moments over and over again, whether or not I was in a partnership with them or not, to try to get a little semblance of that. And sometimes that would breed some resentment. You know, you kiss me, you love me, you made love to me, you introduced me to these people. We had these plans together. How could you let that go? How could you just give up on that? How could you give up on me? How could you not be here? This was so beautiful and it could have worked out. Why would you just give up on us? And so again, kisses aren't contracts. Kisses aren't contracts. They are not promises for the future. And in all of this, y'all, again, me reading this now, today, there's peace in that. When I read this, I don't think about resentment like I used to have when I would read this before of, okay, yeah, kisses aren't contracts. All right. Connected with this person. I love them. But yeah, they don't have to be with me. Like I don't take it with that kind of ho-hum energy. I actually read this with gratitude. I read this with gratitude of the kisses that I got to have. I read this with gratitude of the romantic nights and dinners, of the trip, of the presents, of the bills being paid. Hello. Of the love letters and the texts with people who may no longer be here, but the ways that they poured into me and the ways that they left me better than they found me, the ways that they restored hope and love and optimism in me, or gave me, not even restored for some of them, gave it to me by being in those partnerships. Like that, to me, is beautiful. And so there's this surrender around love and relationships that I've reached to where when I am connected to someone, I can embrace it for all that it is. And I can be wrapped up in it and completely enraptured in it and feel it deeply, but still have ownership of myself. And that was a very hard one. You begin to accept your defeats with your head up and your eyes open with the grace of a woman, not a grief of a child. Yeah, the amount of shame and guilt and hiding that I've had around some of the things that I described to y'all today and some things that a lot of things y'all don't know and you don't need to know, and not because, you know, just because I try to be intentional about when I disclose things here that I feel like is for the benefit of the community. But yeah, the ways I used to shame myself for the things that I've done and what were you thinking and what were you doing? And so now there's more grace around this, more acceptance around the lessons that I've learned have been for me, not against me. They've been for me. And they're all adding for my benefit. And that inner child in me that has been wounded and hurting and needing to be seen and comforted when she's not, when she's bad or when she makes a mistake or is imperfect, to help her know that she's not bad, to let her know that it's okay for her to need love and to need to be seen and to need to be cared for, and giving myself that self-kindness that I haven't been able to give to myself in the past. You learn to build all your rows on today because tomorrow's ground is too uncertain for plans, and futures have a way of falling down mid-flight. So this is a newer lesson that I'm really focusing on more. That is hard. It is hard because I've honed very well how to future plan, how to anticipate roadblock, how to problem solve. I am someone who does find security in people and in relationships and in institutions that have a vision. You know, if we're just sitting here for shits and giggles, what's the point? You know, like I have other things I could be doing with my time. And I've brought that energy into relationships and into a lot of areas of my life. And so learning how to be present in this moment today and how I feel today and choosing pleasure for today and choosing what is which direction and what's the next decision moment by moment that is for my good and for my benefit and for my security in the moment, not having to think about what am I going to do tomorrow or a year from now or whatever else. Girl, I've curated perfectly how to do that. I can do that sleeping with my eyes closed. Like I know how to do that. What I haven't known is how to be grateful and find peace in this moment, to fully embrace that I have enough. That it's not that tomorrow or next year is going to give me what I need to finally make me happy, but today, in this moment, am I happy? Do I have enough? Right? Because tomorrow's ground is too uncertain for plans, and futures have a way of falling down mid-flight. So if these things are things that I can't control, what can I control today, this moment, my breath, my body, focusing on that, who I decide to be connected to, and making sure that is bringing me closer and closer to myself. On this line, after a while, you learn even sunshine burns if you get too much. This may be a lesson for future me, because to me, it doesn't really resonate for me. The closest thing that I can think of is maybe love bombing. And some of my love languages are words of affirmation and gifts. So yeah, love bombing could be what this is alluding to if it comes with negativity and abuse on the other side of it. But knock on wood, my sensor is so honed that people and negging or bullshit. And I'm so honed. I really need to feel safe and that you're for me. And if I feel like you're not, it doesn't matter what you buy me or what you give me or what you send to me in text. First of all, the text ain't going through because you're blocked. Like I don't need it. I will leave it exactly where it is. I'm not moving my hand. I don't need it. You can keep that, right? So that line might mean something to me in the future. But here's the next one that I will leave us with for today. So you plant your garden and decorate your own soul instead of waiting for someone to bring you flowers. This right here was probably the one that kind of solidified in the past. I have to decorate my own soul and I have to buy myself my own flowers. Okay, I can do that. You know, they're telling me that if I do that, then I'll be happy. That would do it. You know, take myself out for dinner, do all this stuff. But it still felt like, if not that I was just biding my time, but I was kind of like basically exactly this. You're doing it because someone else wants you to do it or tells you to do it, not because you actually want to do it and that you find pleasure in it. So it felt empty, you know? And also part of me, some of you may be able to relate to this, part of me was like, okay, if I do these self-love things enough, is it going to unlock? Is it going to be the golden ticket that unlocks that my person is going to come? And that, you know, going back to what I've learned about earning love and being good enough and working and striving and stuff, right? If I take myself to enough solo dinners and solo movies and solo trips and have enough moments with my girlfriends where we're laughing and having sleepovers, and I just really put on this show of self-ownership and self-contentment, then this person is going to come. So kind of like I'm looking forward at the life that I have, but I'm kind of peeking out the side. I think the side of my eye. Like, okay, is he coming? Is that him? Oh, is this it? Is this my reward for all the work that I've been doing? Yeah. So planting my own garden and decorating my own soul did not sound attractive or fun to me. also this idea of, okay, I got to buy myself flowers. To me, the way that my wounding was set up was I'm buying myself flowers because no one sees me worthy of buying flowers for. And so it didn't actually feel self-serving to me. It didn't feel abundant to me. It felt like more of a reinforcement of you're not good enough. The flowers were just a physical reminder of nobody loves you, basically. And so that was in the past. Now, the way I love myself, the way now when I see roses, I'm like, oh, those are mine. To the point where my son is like, mommy, those are your flowers. You need those flowers. Like my son has a connection to roses in me. Like it's just such a deep, you know, he doesn't know any other flowers in the grocery store or whatever store we're at. He goes straight to the roses. And I love that for me. And I love when I get flowers as well from other people. And I love all that, but there's part of me that is kind of waiting to actually be happy with the things that I have and seeing them as intermediary when my real life begins is no longer there. So planting my own garden and decorating my own soul sounds so much fun to me. It is like, oh, I get to do this. I get to build my own life. I get to no longer when I meet a man try to figure out how I can incorporate all of his hobbies and things that he wants to do into my life and completely ignore myself and ignore what I want, because I've been doing all these fun things, but it's also been kind of a placeholder or a stopgap for when I meet my person. And now we have joint hobbies, and now we have joint trips that we go to. And now I can actually start to build the identity that I always wanted to have, which is this person's partner. And being free of that, y'all, being free of that, and then finding, I've said this before, maybe it's me, but I don't think it's just me. The men that I like and that like me love. They love the fact that I'm my own woman. And if anything, the men that I like me and that romance me and love me in the way that I want, the stronger I am and the more I do my own thing and the more I have my own voice, it's intoxicating to them. The more they want to support me and romance me, they think that that shit's hot. Like me having boundaries and saying no. And like, that is what they desire more. And so there was a time in my life that I would hear someone say something like that. And I was like, okay, I will go and be independent so that I can find somebody else, which you're not being independent if you're doing it for someone else. Getting to this place of complete, I don't know a different way to say this, but this is going to trigger you. And I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And I hope that as I say this, I either find another way to clean it up, or I can come back at a different episode or cut this part out. If you're listening to this, obviously I didn't get a way to do that or find a way to do that. But getting to this place of real abandonment of this fantasy and this idea, what would my life look like? This never happened for me. If this thing that I want, if it actually never happened. And this is not me saying I hate men or I don't want to be with men or acting as if I would be comfortable and happily choose to be the eunuch. It's more like, if that's what life gave me, what would that mean for me? And going through the emotions of grief and going through the sadness and going through the despair, going through the resistance that's not for me, until finally I was able to get to the other side of it. And then finding how much the world opened up for me there. You know, even Jim Carrey said, it's incredible. Once you're totally okay with being alone, how much people want to be around you. This great oxymoron that happens. And so here at this podcast, I'm always going to teach us how to optimize our relationships with other people. And I guess with this episode, what it's about is optimizing our relationships with ourselves. I think a lot of people who are talking about the decentering movement and finding yourself take what I'm trying to explain today in the extremes. And maybe we're saying the same things. Maybe this is just my cognitive dissonance or just my lack of awareness. But it feels as if there's a lot of maybe anger or hatred or bitterness or dehumanization of men, because we're talking about the decentering movement that's behind this. Like, you are so low and you're so below me. And I, you know, that's what's going to help me live my life. And I don't believe in channeling that type of energy for anyone. It's not good for your body. It's not good for your stress. Your body and your self-worth and your mental health is best when you are living in peace. If I have to have as my motivation the dismantling of other people, or just all those emotions are hard on your body. So if I can make these decisions from a place of clarity. I want to make decisions for me that are for my pleasure and for my benefit. And so I'm making these decisions right now because I want to make sure that I have a full and happy life here today, fully as myself. It's better than I'm living my life in rebellion towards somebody else, because even then I'm still centered on someone else. I'm ending it here because I'm going to continue to talk about romance here. I'm going to continue talking about what it looks like to find healthy love. I'm going to keep talking about what it looks like when there are examples of unhealthy love. I'm going to talk about codependency. I'm going to talk about connection. I'm going to talk about learning how to receive and all those things. But your relationship with yourself really, really, really needs to be number one. And even what a lot of people who have found their person and who have been in these deep intimate relationships and partnerships will tell you is that this person adds to their life. It's not that they have merged and become this conjoined twin that doesn't really know how to operate in the world. Like they're just this blob that operates in the world. But the person that they're with, the reason why it is so easy is because they see them and they add to them. They add to the individual and the identity that they already have. And they kind of like feed off of each other and they support each other and they're teammates and they're partners. But you have to be your own person to have someone to be that Velcro. You know, if you're the soft side and they're the sticky side, you got to be fully okay them being your soft side and them being your sticky side so y'all can like match and connect and be secure, right? Instead of when I meet someone, I'm over here all soft and I meet someone who's sticky. Now I'm trying to be all sticky. You're going to continue to repel each other. You're not going to be able to connect. Your opposites are what's attracting. And so I just wish deep love and abundance and security for everyone. And I'll leave y'all with this last stanza. It goes after it says, so you plant your own garden and decorate your own soul instead of waiting for someone to bring you flowers. And you learn that you really can endure, that you really are strong, that you really do have worth. And you learn and you learn. With every goodbye, I love you all. And I hope that you find this helpful. As always, take care of yourselves. See you in the next one.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.